Did you ever feel like what you learned in law school didn't prepare you for the world of running a law practice? Law school didn't teach us how to start our practices the right way so that we could scale them into a thriving business. We didn't learn how to make sure that our businesses would meet our financial goals and provide the type of lifestyle we deserve. After 10 years, I was fed up with struggling in my practice and decided to begin a journey to scaling a successful practice that would actually allow me to finally live the life I've always dreamed of. I invite you to listen in on the conversations I'm having with some of the most successful solo and small firm practitioners, along with leading business entrepreneurs, and share how I am implementing what I am learning, all with the goal of helping you take control of your practice and your life. This is The Law Entrepreneur. Hey there, fellow law entrepreneurs. Welcome back to The Law Entrepreneur. I'm Neil Tyra, your host as usual, and today we have returning special guest who's been on the show multiple times, Victor Medina. I've asked Victor to come on the show because he's the smartest guy I know, and I love talking to him. And you're going to hear him discuss video marketing. We're kind of following up with our show from last week with Nakia Gray and kind of taking a little deeper dive now into the nuts and bolts of how to develop a video capability within your marketing and branding and training and communication systems for your law firm. And as you'll hear Victor espouse, there are a lot of different ways that you can use video to develop and improve your law firm. So I won't bore you with any further introduction. Let's get on with it with Victor Medina. Victor Medina, welcome back to The Law Entrepreneur.
Hey, thanks, Neil. Thanks for having me.
At this point, I'm going to stop counting how many times you've been on, because I don't want to, you know, I don't want to make other folks who really would like to displace you as the, you know, most often repeated guest on the show. I don't want to make them upset them. So, but this is your multiple return visit to the show, and we're greatly appreciative of that. For those of you who haven't heard Victor before, he's a estate planning and elder law attorney, a financial planner as well. So he's got, you know, two hats on in the professional world. He's an author, a speaker. He's host of a podcast called Make It Last. He's a media star on the radio and an acapella, I think, tenor. Not sure.
And
a general bon vivant around New Jersey. So welcome back.
Thanks. Well, you know, what I want to do, Neil, is I want to establish, you remember there was a time where the Five Timers Club for Saturday Night Live was a thing. And then it just kind of blew out and it wasn't much of a thing because so many other people had it. So we're still in the Steve Martin, you know, kind of Alec Baldwin days.
There,
right?
You go.
Still those. Yeah.
That's exactly correct. And I think we're approaching, if not there, at the Five Timer Club. So well done.
All right.
Well, I asked Victor to come back on the show today one more time because, you know, he's the smartest guy that I know. And one of the things that he's been doing a lot of recently is video content marketing. And we had a guest on last week, Nakia Gray, who is doing a lot of video marketing. And I wanted to get down to some of the nuts and bolts about what's involved in creating a video marketing plan and how you generate these products. So let's start with the first question, and that really is, why video? What's different now than before? And why do I, as an attorney, want to consider putting video or using video in my marketing and branding plans?
Right. Yeah. So I think there's probably three factors that play into this. You know, the first is kind of the ubiquity of screens and screen availability. You know, you marry the fact that you're carrying this slab that can display graphics on it. And most people now rocking an unlimited data plan, meaning they don't really care about what they stream. And, you know, all of a sudden, what you can see on this slab that you carry around with you is available at any point in time. The second part is some research that tends to suggest that when you listen to something, you have a different kind of recall rate than if you read it. And if you're able to, you know, watch and listen you know, at the same time, then that increases the rate of retention as well. So there's sort of some science behind why you kind of want to hit people at both of those areas. And then the last one is within the professional services world, like what we do as lawyers, people are ill-equipped to judge the competency of our services on the face of what we're providing, right? They don't know the quality of the legal documents, and they don't know the quality of us as lawyers in terms of our advocacy. So what they're going to do is they're going to judge from external kind of factors, and those including what do they know, like, and trust about the person in front of them. And the more that you can give those individuals about who you are, the better chance that A, they're going to figure out if you're somebody that they can trust. And more importantly, B, you know, figure out if you're the specific person that they want to work with. And so you get this sort of filtering effect, because we're not right for everybody. You're not going to have a perfect fit with every potential client. So to the extent there's a prospective client that is interested, they're going to get a good sense of your personality and figure out, is this the right fit for them? And making that makes your job easier in terms of filtering through who's going to be a great client, who's not.
You know, I'll add a fourth criteria as well, based on my own personal kind of predisposition, and that is I'm lazy. And so for me, I've gotten to the point now that if it's not presented to me in video, I don't want to deal with it. Right. Like, for instance, if I'm trying to learn how to do something in a software package that I'm using on my computer, and I go to the support system, if I have to read a whole lot about how to, you know, establish a contact or edit a widget or whatever, I'd rather watch.
Yeah. And that's an actually a really great point, because not only is that important and outward facing to a kind of, you know, between attorney and prospective client, but to your point about support, we have seen in our office an incredible amount of traction using this based kind of just, I don't want to call it video marketing, but just video as a way of training. So it gives us an opportunity to your point about laziness. There's the layer of that, just being able to watch something, but there's also the ability to replicate it on multiple levels. So you go one to many instead of one-to-one. And so if you think about it in the training concept, you know, rather than having to spend your specific time in front of somebody every single time you have to train somebody, you can do it once on recording and on video and then display the video and just kind of, you know, supplement with anything that might have changed slightly or that didn't get conveyed well to that particular employee.
Well, that's a great segue into what I wanted to address next, was what are the different ways, the different things that you can do with video. I mean, I think a lot of us think of video in terms of what comes up on our Facebook stream, or when I go to a website, what's available on the website. But beyond that, I suspect there's a lot of uses that video has. What are some of the things that you are using video for, and maybe what's on the horizon that you may be using for in the future?
Yeah. So I'm going to take a step back and, in answering that, lay out sort of the world of what access to video kind of looks like right now. Because sure, on the one hand, you can have kind of highly produced things that look and feel like movies. And on the other hand, you can have somebody kind of using their phone with the upward nostril angle, yeah, you know, and right, bad lighting. And so those are two bookends of a spectrum of what's available in video. And so the idea that the barrier to entry is so low kind of makes it great that you can access it. But there's sort of this minimum level of, hopefully we're going to get to it a little bit later in the show, but there's this sort of minimum level that you should be looking for what will lend credibility, especially if it's outward facing. So with that said, if we're at that minimum threshold and beyond, we've used it. I'll answer it this way, which is I try to get instinctive to moving to video at every opportunity. Like, how can I use video in this? And so some of the ways that we do it is in the radio show that I do. So my radio show is actually simulcast. It's literally on a physical radio that broadcasts on AM, but it's also simulcast as a podcast. Well, I'm sitting here and I'm recording that show in my office. And I realized, geez, here's an opportunity to just live stream what it is that I do. And so in setting up the cameras and stuff, I'm able to place that on Facebook Live. So somebody who is watching it live can comment on it, interact with me. But it's also saved on my page on Facebook. So now you can go back and watch that again. And then also save the actual video and put it up to YouTube, because YouTube obviously is one of the second largest search engines that are out there, and lots of stuff goes on there. So we used it to simulcast the radio. We use it in a bi-weekly newsletter that we produce. And so that newsletter is part of our Five Fact Friday. And it's just the opportunity to record a short clip, 3 to 5 minutes. And it's just another way to interact with our list. And it's no one else besides the people on our list see this, right? So it's not posted on Facebook afterwards. We don't do anything with that, but we just convey that information that way. It allows me to talk to someone. And that's really sort of where you try to develop the conversation, because if the goal is to become accessible in the video that you're doing, the more that you can be conversational and natural in what you're in how you're presenting it, the more effective it's going to be. So in addition to the video marketing, we have video series that we send out to prospective clients. So whenever you sign up for a meeting with us, you get a video series, and that video series explains some of the concepts about the planning that we do, what to expect in the meetings, and it takes away the burden, two burdens really. The first burden is of the person in the meeting to explain basic concepts over and over again, which can be almost soul-sucking. The other portion that it takes away is and this is going to blow some people's minds, but it takes away the need for me to be in that meeting in order to acquire the client. So because we've sent this on the video series, wow, the prospective client has the opportunity to see and interact with me, sees me outside of the marketing realm, sees me more in a kind of counseling realm in there. But then I don't have to be in that initial meeting. And in fact, I'm not. Out of all of the legal clients that we acquired last year, there were about 100 and something of them for a ton, good money, right? None of them were signed up by me. I wasn't in any of the meetings. I didn't meet them until they actually had hired us.
Slow down. Over 100 new clients, and you didn't meet any of them on their initial visit to the office?
That's correct. Yeah. No, so none of them. So from January to December 31st, there were over 130 clients that we signed up in that year. Each of them gave us checks and engaged us for planning without having met me at all. The only way that they did meet me, of course, was to meet me through that video series, to meet me on the outward facing stuff. You know, we have converted a lot of our marketing to what I consider to be sort of brand and celebrity based marketing. Not that I'm really a celebrity, but we use my skill set to kind of broadcast widely and then filter down in. And then I'm setting these video series are subject matter specific. So we got a series for estate planning. We have a series for elder law. We have a series for crisis planning, mm-hmm. But they have an opportunity to see me there, and they do. And then when they come in to see it, they see a very highly trained client intake specialist that walks them through our process and, what we can offer in terms of services, and they agree to hire us or not.
That's spectacular.
Yeah. So we use it in lots of different ways. Back to the concept of video marketing, is we try to take that opportunity. And, some of the stuff that I haven't gone into is internal training.
I was just going to say training as well, right?
Yeah. We mentioned that a little bit earlier in the show, but we do that in lots of spaces in training, whether they're screen flows or whether they're actual videos. Anytime I want to send a message to somebody and I think about that message going one to many, I try to use video. What I haven't got to, which I think is probably the next step, is one-to-one. We do have these one-to-one kind of opportunities. And so every once in a while, in lieu of sending an email, in which context, I'm kind of sarcastic, right? We lose sarcasm in an email, right? So anytime I want to do something like that, I think that we can start to probably, because we've just greased the skids so well on producing video that it's a very easy process for us in the firm to do, that we might start to do that on one-on-one as well, when those opportunities present themselves. So those are a few different ways.
I was at, just on that last point, I was at a conference a few days ago and listening to Marcus Sheridan, who has been a guest on the show way back when. I don't have the episode handy at the moment. He's affectionately known as the sales lion, made his bones in content marketing, and now is a big video marketing guy, he was showing how he includes a very short video clip, 30 seconds or so, in the signature block of his email.
Yeah.
And when he is engaging new clients, it's specific to them, to the new client,
sure.
by name.
Yeah.
So to your point, that one-to-one is very intriguing.
Now, you have to get, I think, in a situation where greasing those skids has occurred, right? Because you don't want to think about it as a whole production. You know,
right.
Every time you do it, it feels like you have to break out, you know, the film crew to get it done. Then you're not going to get it done. And we can talk a little bit about sort of what the equipment, the workflow needs to be to make that happen. But I will introduce sort of a more philosophical concept on this, which is that as lawyers, we tend to have great aesthetics for what works and what doesn't. We've been trained conceptually about assessing situations and seeing them for their value. Well, that can work against this because when you're in the creative arts, like video is going to be, like audio is, you're in a situation in which your skill set doesn't match your aesthetic. You know, and this is a riff that I've lifted from Ira Glass, because, you know, he talked well about the fact that you need to work at your skills to the point in which it meets your aesthetic, because your aesthetic, your taste is killer and it will stay killer, but your skill set isn't there yet. And what prevents people from really capitalizing on some of the power on this is that they never get out of their own way working hard enough to get good at it. Look, my initial videos, my initial radio, my initial everything just sucked. It sucked hard, you know, and it's just the consequence of starting out and being a beginner. But if you persevere, you know, and you keep working at it, you can get to the point where it isn't nearly as bad as it was when it started. It is passable if you understand some of what the kind of minimum requirements are off of that. And in getting some of the stuff that we might talk about in a few minutes in place will actually catapult you to that sort of minimum level faster. I don't know. When I was growing up, I took more to snowboarding than I did to skiing, because it took for me a very long time to get competent at skiing. But at snowboarding, if you can front edge and you can back edge, you can get down any part of the mountain. You know, you can just ride your heel, ride your toe. And so you get to that minimum level really quickly. Well, that's what I was looking for.
Yeah, you know, first time I snowboarded, right up there by you, up at Great Gorge.
Okay.
I slid down on my backside the whole way. So
it's another way of getting minimally competent.
Another friend of mine likened the development of your skill set, he referred to his golf game. He said, you know, first time I played golf, I really sucked. And now I still suck, but not quite as bad. But it's a minimal competency that I've developed that I can at least go out in public and play. And he was making the observation that, you know, developing a skill set like presence on video or use of video is the same way. You're not going to be Cecil B. DeMille. You know, and so you have to find that space where it meets your aesthetic values.
Yeah, and keep working at it, right? Because you will kind of cross through that hump and get to that point in time. And if you kind of take some of the tips that we're going to talk about today, you'll get some of there faster. You know, you'll avoid the nostril cam effect, which can happen.
And Nakia Gray, who, as I said, was on last week, you know, her point was get started with something easy that, you know, it's rather contained and short or narrow distribution, so that, you know, you don't display your weaknesses to start with to everybody until you've developed that skill set.
Even internal facing before external facing.
Exactly.
You know, if you do it that way. Sure.
Do it for yourself. Do it for your office and what have you, or maybe just something very narrow like a Facebook Live event, so that you're just comfortable enough in front of a camera before you start doing something a little more involved. So let's talk about what is involved. Do I have to spend a lot of money?
No, but you have to spend it in the right places. You can avoid the big hits to the wallet, but you'd have to be smart and judicious about what you're spending on. So
now, I will say that every time I talk to you,
Yeah, how much does it cost?
My wallet takes a huge hit, so be kind.
Yes, well, I do have a vaulted position in Larry Port's life, who's the founder of Rocket Matter. And every time we talk, which is only about once a year, I cost him $1,000.
Exactly.
You know, whatever it is, it's a grand. He says, and I know it's coming. So I just, all right. So a couple of things. You know, I think one of the greatest resources that I used in terms of kind of understanding about this, if you're a research person and you kind of want to know about it, is that Wistia, which is a service that hosts videos and does some stuff with plugins on your website and whatnot, actually has great resources that are absolutely available for free on their blog and on some of the pages that they have there. So that's spelled Wistia. And if you go to Wistia, they will show you camera showdowns. They will show you microphone showdowns. They'll show you how to set up backgrounds. And I learned a lot from there. Now, it cost me a little bit of money because I really quickly saw the difference in quality between the setup that I was running and the setup that could be run, but they'll give you even affordable options like, you know, how to record video on your iPhone. And there are some tips for that. So we need to think in terms of the hierarchy of needs for video. And it may sound counterintuitive, but at the lowest sort of need is going to be your camera quality. So that's the least thing you have to invest in. Your phone will have sufficient quality. A camera that you have that's point and shoot will have sufficient quality. If you happen to have, you know, an SLR with blah, 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 yes, that will also have enough quality. But you don't have to spend money on a camera. And you certainly don't have to spend a lot of money on a specific video camera. Most of the time, either camera phones or point and shoot SLRs, just digital SLRs you can get for a couple of $100, that will be enough. So let's say that you're starting with your phone. Where should you spend your money? Well, actually, the place that you should spend most of your money first is in sound, is in audio. Because we've run a couple of these tests. If you watch a video that looks great but sounds terrible, it is far less engaging than one that sounds great and doesn't look as good.
Yeah.
So you can get that a few different ways. And so you can kind of step up in your quality of sound from, in the case of a smartphone or using your smartphone as your camera, having a separate plug-in microphone will increase the quality of your video significantly. It probably costs $20.
So something like a lavalier mic that you pin on your collar or something like that?
Exactly. Just something that's wired. You know, it'll be long enough that it'll kind of drape underneath the camera view so it won't look like you're, you know, wearing a big long piece of wire or something.
Yeah, let me just point out that one of my pet peeves is when I see folks on video and they have their headsets. They're wearing their headsets at the time they're recording the video, and that mic is rubbing against the shirt. Yeah. Drives me nuts.
It's amateur hour, Neil.
Drives
amateur
me nuts. Hour. they're not at the level of Victor Medina. So get yourself a lavalier mic, $20 to $30, and pin it on your collar and be done with it.
Exactly. And that will do a lot to increasing the quality of your video. So the next level beyond that would be sort of an offset microphone. And so the way that I run in most of my setup is I actually have a shotgun microphone that is positioned out of the camera shot so that you don't see the lavalier at all. And it is recording sound to a separate device that I have to match up later, right? So we're at next level when we get to the sort of offset sound situation. But you don't have to get there to get great video. You can, in fact, just start with a plug-in mic and something that will just capture the sound from the source more directly and with a higher quality.
Okay.
So the next after that will be lighting. And the camera loves lighting. And so what we want to do is avoid, for instance, using your overhead fluorescence. Now, again, Amazon is your friend. And for about $40, they will send you a three-piece lighting kit that will have the whole umbrella and the diffuser on it. And it will produce fantastic light, balanced. Because the trick with lighting is, first of all, the camera loves light, loves more light you throw at the better it will react. But second, most of the time that we use lighting, it is too harsh. Our eyes really aren't attuned to seeing shadows unless you're a photographer, unless you're somebody that, you know, has developed that eye We don't see the harsh shadows that are created. So top down lighting, you know, makes it shiny it makes it shiny on my head anyway, makes it shiny on your head, makes the kind of like the 12 o'clock shadow across the nose. And it just doesn't look great. Whereas if you had lights on either side of you, that would break up the shadow in between. And again, you know, $20, $30, $40, I think maybe at Amazon for one 3-piece kit that will basically create great lighting. So now I've cost you about $60, I think, total.
Assuming that you're using your phone.
Assuming that you're using your phone.
Yeah.
Okay, which you can start with, especially the later model.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you and I are partial to the Apple devices, but the later model iPhones are fantastic camera phones for video. They're just stellar. They capture high definition. It looks great. It has automatic focusing. It keeps you in focus the whole time. You don't have to worry about kind of moving back and forth. It is an outstanding camera. It sucks as a microphone. And, you know, nor do we expect it to that. And by the way, you know, your lighting is what sucks, not the camera reacting to it. So we're going to increase both of those or improve both of those in some of these suggestions.
How do you stabilize the camera?
Okay, good point. So let me tell you, in the past, what I've done is I've gone ahead and put it on a holder that goes in your car. I've used one of those and attached it to a tripod. But there are dedicated mounts that you can use for a phone that will put the camera correct in position to you. Now, the one trick is that it's typically better to have the camera at or above eye level than below eye level, back to our nostril cam situation. So you're going to want, and this is a little ninja trick that I screwed up on the first time, is most of the time, tripods that are meant for cameras can be a little low. And so you're going to want to be researching, if you want to be using a tripod, a video tripod, because they're going to be taller. Just a trick that I just kind of came up with. I bought the wrong tripod and I couldn't figure out why I couldn't get this thing high enough. You know, damn it. I put it on my conference table because I could shorten the legs, you know,
right.
but between the height of the conference table, I finally got it at the correct height. But video tripods are their own sort of device, versus, regular photography tripods.
Okay, cool.
And the mount. An amount with just, you know, but based on your phone, they're going to come with the standard screw thread that you see on all of the video, and that just goes on top of the tripod. And there you go. Now, my recommendation, by the way, and this doesn't have to be the case, of course, you're not going to leave your phone there all the time, but my recommendation is to keep your setup there so that the barrier to entry to you recording video is low. Now, you can make it so that you just slip your phone in and plug in the microphone and go, which is great. If you're using an Apple phone, and I'm sorry, I have no suggestions for Android, but if you're using an iPhone, Film C or Film Mic or whatever it is, has an app. I think it's like $4.99. I like that app preferable to the onboard camera app just because you're able to set exposure. You can autofocus on you and keep it on there. So there, I think there's some levels to that that are a little bit better. You can do some auto white balancing off of it. And so I used that when I was using my phone.
Did you start that way or did you migrate to that?
No, I think I migrated in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Okay. It was very hard for me to get what I wanted from the camera app. Stuff was happening. And so I said, well, the hell with this. I researched it and that this Film MC or whatever it is was the app.
This episode of The Law Entrepreneur is sponsored by Market Circle, the makers of Daylight. Do you want to help more clients but don't have the resources? Do you feel overwhelmed by the amount of work to do that you can't even think about getting new clients? If this is you, I urge you to try out Daylight. Daylight is the Mac CRM that streamlines your practice and can save you hours of work each week. Daylight has helped thousands of small businesses, including my own, to manage more clients and cases without adding stress nor chaos. With Daylight, you don't need to fumble through files or notes to know where you are in a case. There's no more CCing your assistant on emails or passing around spreadsheets. Because Daylight now has a new team view that helps you see what everyone in your firm is working on. You can see everyone's appointments and tasks and easily schedule meetings for the entire team or a portion thereof. To learn how Daylight can help your firm, visit marketcircle.com/daylight. be sure to let them know you heard about Daylight through the Law Entrepreneur to get a 50% discount on your first monthly subscription. That's Market Circle, the makers of Daylight. This episode is also brought to you by my friends at Spotlight Branding. I trust them to manage the internet presence for my law firm, and I recommend them to solo lawyers every chance I get. They built a great website for me, and they use video marketing, social media, email marketing, and more to keep me top of mind with my referral network. Visit spotlightbranding.com to learn more. They're even offering a free gift for podcast listeners, which you can access at spotlightbranding.com/TLE, as in the law entrepreneur. Spotlightbranding.com/TLE, brought to you by our friends at Spotlight Branding. You know, one of the other advantages, I think, to having your setup leaving your setup in place is it creates a consistency of view if you do multiple, you know, videos down the line.
Absolutely. Yeah, exactly. If it's set up, people are now, you create the audience that expects to see, you know, what you're showing them.
So now you've captured this video. Maybe you're like Victor Medina and you can do it in one take, start to finish. But maybe you have to have a couple of different ones, and now you got a bunch of video clips. You got to put them all together in some kind of package. So, are you doing your own editing? And if so, what are you using? Or are you outsourcing the editing post production process?
I'm doing it on my own, Neil. But there are services that will edit it for you. You just send them the raw file, and they'll make the cuts and the edits. But I have found that the time that it takes me to do it is very, very minimal. So I use iMovie on my laptop. You can certainly continue to use the phone if you'd like to do some editing. But because I have offboard sound or offset sound on it and I need to match it up, you know, I'm basically plugging in a couple of SD cards and dragging over the files. I have created in iMovie a template. And within that template, there's a titles page, there's some transition, there's an out title page transition. And so, I've underlaid it with some music on the videos. And so it becomes very easy for me just to drop the video files onto the missing parts of the template and then kind of produce it. You are right. I have an unusual skill of getting things done in one take. And I think that mostly comes from the number of reps that I've had. I mean, I'm okay generally knowing what I want to say. But because I do video so often, because I record a weekly radio show, and because it just gets to the point where it's fairly easy for me to find my way through the video if I happen to get lost along the way and it doesn't sound like it's something that's wrong, you know, which can happen from time to time. But if you have some edits that you need to make, you know, iMovie is great. You very quickly learn the command T, which is to split the video file. And then you just kind of carve out what you didn't like, throw in a cross transition, and it's as though, you know, the error never happened. So I do that all on my own.
Let me put a plug in. If you're like me and Victor, you like to do this yourself. I took the iMovie Essential Training Course on lynda.com. It's done by a fellow by the name of Garrick Chow, C-H-O-W. And the training class is phenomenal. I had no idea, even being a Mac, an Apple fanboy, I had no idea the level of capability that iMovie has.
Okay.
And so if I just took the training, you know, walking on the treadmill, watching the courses, and it's really very good. So if you're not familiar with editing software and you want to take a crack at it yourself, you can take that training and you'll be up to speed and able to do some amazing things in a couple of days, literally.
That's great. That's a great recommendation. You know, people tend not to, you know their software very well. And so
or the use more 10% of it. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, there's all kinds of stuff in there. I think that Apple's done a great job of making these consumer level apps really super powerful. I mean, enough for what we need.
Well, just off on a tangent, you made me feel that way a couple of weeks ago in Chicago at the ABA Tech Show when Victor was presenting some great points and showing how he uses Text Expander. And I was sitting there by Smile Software. And I was sitting there thinking, I have text expander. I use it. I've been using it for a couple of years. I'm nowhere.
I don't use it like that.
I'm nowhere close to the text expander ninja that Victor Medina is. I feel so unworthy. I came home.
I'm shocked, Neil. Text expander is the tool of the lazy. I thought that you'd be up on that in
no
hard.
Kidding.
You
know? No kidding. And I came home from Chicago, and that was the first thing I dived into and said, you know what? I got to do something more than just this plain vanilla, type in a couple of letters and have it expand into one sentence or my signature line. I need to use this more like, like the Medina Law Group.
Just go for the, play to the instinct of the lazy, listen to that siren song.
Exactly. So you're doing your editing in terms of, did you do any research about outsourcing that, or you just knew intuitively that you were going to do that yourself?
Yeah, very briefly, I came across somebody that was transitioning and freelancing to do it, and we traded some emails. And I think the cost that I got was, maybe like $50 or $30 per video that I wanted him to produce. And the issue for me, it wasn't necessarily the cost; it was just the turnaround and frequency time. I'm not planning my videos out so far that I could wait for a week for it to turn around. And because I'm doing them, almost biweekly, $1,200 over the course of a year didn't seem to me to be the best way to be spending that money. So I took it on my own, and I've been pretty happy with it. I haven't gotten to the point where I'm like, damn it, I have to do this again. I'm so bored, because the templating allows me to get in and out of that process. I probably spend about 25 minutes on my weekly 5-minute video from start to finish. That includes turning on the camera, recording it, sticking the SD cards in the back, and then making the cuts and uploading. Wow. It probably takes that point in time.
That's pretty quick.
Well, I've done it so often, yeah. Right? It's gotten to the point where it has just become more of a habit and a reflex than it is a production.
Well, I think also when you do it yourself, if you can get it down to that level of efficiency, that you pay more attention to the content and the quality, and you get a little more creative and maybe expand your capabilities to some extent. Whereas if you're outsourcing it, you kind of get stuck in that same kind of rut. I mean, maybe just be my.
No, I think that's actually a very strong point, because you notice more and you give the opportunity for improvement. If you didn't do it that way, you'd probably have to schedule out like paying attention to some of your internal stuff and then spending extra dedicated time to figure out, is this right? Do I want to make changes? Your hands in it, and you can see, I can tweak it this way, or I'm going to experiment in that way. When I did this worked out better. So I do tend to agree with that if you stay involved with it, you probably have a better opportunity to make those improvements faster because you're paying attention.
All right, so let's wrap this up by talking about, how do you get started? What do you do? Assuming like I'm going to go down and get the equipment and get the software, and I'm going to play around, make sure I know how to turn things on and get a clip and maybe do some minor editing. Okay, where do I start in terms of content? What would you suggest that I do?
Yeah, I think filling the blank page is probably the hardest thing for people to do. And so when you start to think about, like, should I be creating, can I conceive of the best first video, we don't want to put that kind of pressure on it. And so, again, I'm a fan of paying attention to pain points and trying to, figure out if those are great areas. So one of the things that we have done in our office, because we have multiple people meeting clients in the team, is we've created a little jar of frequently asked questions. And it's just a leftover, like large pretzel jar, cleaned it out, of course. And we have little papers on there. And anytime they're asked a question from a client, they throw it inside of the jar. And so you can start to pay attention to the same thing. What is it that you're explaining to somebody over and over again? That you have your pat answer down, that you understand kind of how you would answer the question, and use that as the kind of fodder for your first set of videos. And the reason why I'm suggesting that is, one, you know the answer very well, so you won't be focusing on the content. You'll be focusing more on the delivery, and you can judge the final product because it will relate back to you answering those questions in the past, right? How has that come across? So it will give you something easy to start with, and it will take a load off of you so that if you ever have somebody that's making a request for this information, you can direct them to the video instead, or you can have your staff direct them to the video. Says, oh, you know, actually, Neil has answered that question in the past. Let me send you the link. And in fact, on that link, and this is something that you develop over time, right? On the link, not only is there answer to that question, but there's an answer to a bunch of different questions that people have had. Similar like that. You might put a playlist together for a particular kind of transaction. I mean, if you're a real estate person, you might be recording a seller's set of answers versus recording a buyer's set of answers, and you'd send them to the playlist for those two. So looking at those frequently asked questions, something that you know is probably one of the best first areas that you can dive into to create content.
Let's just real briefly talk about the advantages of hosting remotely on something like YouTube as opposed to having all your video content on your own local server.
Okay. So I think that if you could decide, you would do everything at the same time, right? So Facebook tends to value more the video that you record directly on there than stuff that you link or upload. You know, YouTube has its own search algorithm, and people are on YouTube versus being on Google to find stuff and information. And certainly you want to own your own content. So paying for something like Vimeo or Wistia to essentially host your videos and serve them up is probably a good idea to do all of them at once. If you had to pick one of those, I think that your best bet these days is probably just on YouTube, and in large part because their search algorithm is working to your advantage. You get the juice not only of searching directly on YouTube, but also Google searches, and so you have the opportunity to have that content served up on there, and you can always direct people to YouTube if they, from your website without having to pay for a separate plugin or hosting or anything else. Now, I happen to do all three because I think all three are important. But if I had to focus on one, I would probably focus solely on YouTube in the beginning.
Yeah, I think I would agree too. And in large part because of one of the points you made, since the Google searches now reflect YouTube hits. You know, it's invaluable for if people search for Rockville estate planning attorney, they're going to see my video come up as opposed to just my website.
Right.
Yeah, it's great. Well, listen, Victor, it's a delight to have you on the show one more time. If any of our audience wants to, as I often want to do, be like Victor, where can they get your book? Where can they contact you? And how can they, become the megastar that you are?
All right, so we're gonna walk back from that a little bit. Okay. And if they'd like to have more information about what I'm doing, mostly maybe even to observe it, to learn from, the Make It Last radio show that I do, podcast/video kind of streaming, is available, and you can subscribe to that. It's absolutely free. It's a 30-minute show on retirement planning. I kind of marry legal and financial planning and in concepts that I teach. So it's very digestible. But you can find that by subscribing to iTunes, going to the podcast, and just looking for Make It Last. And you'll see the little blue boxes, Make It Last with Victor Medina, and you can subscribe to that. It's also available on Spotify. So if you're a Spotify subscriber, you can search for Make It Last, and it will be a podcast. You'll see all 40-something episodes that we've done. And then again, it's available on YouTube. So if you search for Make It Last on YouTube, you'll see in the past, as I said, we kind of moved into the video. So there are YouTube videos of all of the shows. But before the last month and a half or so, they were just static images of the logo, and it was an audio recording.
Right.
Then we just kind of moved to kind of the video live streaming. And so that's available there. And you can also navigate to my Facebook law firm page, Medina Law Group, and you'll see all of the Facebook live stuff to get an idea of that video. And then if you're also on that page, you'll get the difference between the streaming video, which is one set camera setup that I have that is related to my audio setup. And then you'll see posted on there are 5 Fact Fridays. So there's a few of those in there. And you can kind of see the difference between the two, the video quality, the sound quality, in the sense of, you know, radio. And so you'll be able to see the difference between the two and see which one you like. The Facebook Live stuff and the stuff that's on YouTube is actually recorded on a webcam, you know, something that plugs into the computer. It's a 4K webcam. I think it costs $140 from Logitech, and it was the right choice for me to solve that problem. And so it was pretty easy to set up. And so if you want to learn more about kind of the video and the stuff that I have out there, you can go there. And from there, you can find the book and other stuff. But I think that kind of focusing on the show, the weekly show, will give you an opportunity to see, you know, radio, audio, the video portion. And then again, if you're on the Facebook webpage, you'll be able to see the some of the other videos that we've done and how those produced. Now, if you'd like to know more about learning this stuff, Neil, we all know how big of a fan you are of a little conference that I host called MacTrack Legal. Okay, so MacTrack Legal is going to be hosted this year, again on Disney property, September 27th through the 29th, 2018. And we're going to have an interesting focus this year. So one of the things we're really going to highlight is going to be the iOS devices. More and more people are walking around with the sports cars of their iPads. And, you know, how can we leverage those in our practice? How can we optimize their use? And so we're going to be offering some more programming in that area that I think is really going to be beneficial, and balancing that with the Mac. You know, so we've got to have some Mac stuff too, but I think the iOS is going to be a big focus for this year. So if you're an iOS user, even if you're not a Mac user, I think you'll get a ton from this year's conference, because in addition to that, we'll have all the practice management stuff. We're actually partnering, Neil, this year with Atticus. And Atticus is a coaching company out of Florida that focuses on attorney coaching. That's that we're both familiar with one of the principals, a guy named Steve Riley. He's been on your show before. So we're going to be working together to start to create a small firm solo tech conference that really has all of the elements that MacTrack has always had, the combination of technology, practice management, lifestyle stuff, and start to grow the conference that way. So I'm really excited for what the new year is going to bring. So if you're interested in that, you just go to MacTrackLegal.com. It's MacTrackLegal, and that will bring you to the site, and you can register there, see more about what's going on this year.
Awesome. Well, of course, I will be there. I've already blocked it out on my calendar. It's on my task list to coordinate with my wife as to when I'm coming down and how long I'm staying. So you can count on me there. And by the way, I just think the idea of focusing on the iOS is really brilliant, because I've seen, and I saw it in Chicago, a lot of folks with their iPhone and their iPad who were using Windows-based laptops.
Right. Yeah. Crazy. I know you can't resolve the discord in your head, but want to serve them. You want to leverage that if you can.
Yeah, I don't really know how to address that, but so I think what you're doing is great. Well, I had Tom and Brett on not too long ago, or 2 weeks ago, about their new book for Mac curious or Windows users. That's one way to address that problem, I guess. So anyway, listen, thanks ever so much for being on the show again, Victor, and I look forward to seeing you again real soon.
Thanks so much for having me, Neil. It's a pleasure to be on the show. I'm looking forward to that 5-timer club, so we're going to have to put that on the calendar,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. I'm sure you'll get a t-shirt or something. Take care.
Thanks a lot. Thanks.
Once again, I'd like to thank our friends at Market Circle, the makers of Daylight and Spotlight Branding, for being sponsors of today's podcast. Market Circles, as the makers of Daylight, provide the tool that I use to manage my cases, my clients, my calendar, my to-dos, the emails, and they do so all in one app that stays with me on my Mac, my iPhone, and my iPad. I use Daylight on my own in a solo environment, but you can also use it in a team. You can use Daylight to track the status of cases and delegate tasks to one another on your team, and you can see everyone's schedule all without having to interrupt anyone. Daylight is one of the tools that I use to stay organized, and it increases my efficiency, and therefore it only stands to reason that it'll do the same for you and your team if you use it in a broader environment. So visit marketcircle.com/daylight to try Daylight free for 30 days. And be sure to let them know that you heard about Daylight through The Law Entrepreneur in order to get a 50% discount on your first monthly subscription. Also, our friends at Spotlight Branding, as always, have been very helpful in sponsoring this podcast. You know, I trust them to manage the internet presence for my law firm, and I recommend them to solo lawyers every chance I get. They built a great website for me, and they use video marketing, social media, email marketing, and more to help keep me top of mind with my referral network. So visit www.spotlightbranding.com to learn more. They're even offering a free gift for podcast listeners, which you can access at spotlightbranding.com/TLE, as in the law entrepreneur. So spotlightbranding.com/TLE to access your free gift. And as always, make sure that you visit our website, www.thelawentrepreneur.com, to see everything that's going on with the podcast and subscribe to our newsletter so that you can stay in the know and be the first on your block, so to speak, to gain insight into what's going on here. So once again, thanks for being here this time around. I appreciate your listenership. Hope to see you again next week on The Law Entrepreneur.